by 60. Am I Eli? Yes, I'm Eli.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Poppin, the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Got a big show lined up for you. We actually take you inside the Giants draft war room. I'll speak with General Manager Dave Gettleman. In our feature interview, a look at Giants wide receiver Plaxico Burress, and Madeline Burke had a chance to do a Facebook Live interview with one of the newest Giants, Alec Ogletree. Ever wonder what it looks like in the Giants draft war room? I had a chance to visit in it with Dave Gettleman. We're in the Giants draft room, first time ever, and we're with General Manager Dave Gettleman. And Dave, let's just talk about this whirlwind that it's been for you since being named the General Manager of the Giants at the end of last season. Has it been as crazy as it seems from the outside?
Yes. Yeah, very simply. But no, it's been nonstop. It's been good. Everybody's been very welcoming. And I'm just thrilled to be here and just work with all these people here.
What are some of the philosophies that you have about the draft and how to go about the draft?
The bottom line is there are three truths. You got to run the ball, you got to defend the run, you got to rush the passer. If you're deficient in any one of those three things, then you're going to struggle. I believe in building from the inside out, and we just got to continue that, you know, to go through the process now with the draft.
Tell me about the setup of the room, the seating, and what it's like on draft night.
You know, you just, everybody's got their spots, and you know, when it comes our turn to pick, you know, probably half an hour before it's our turn, we'll start with three players. We'll talk about the next three guys. If one of the three players you've selected is gone, you talk about the fourth guy. So you just keep, you know, you can always keep three guys in your pocket. And then you just work through the draft that way. It's the coaches, everybody will be in here when we're talking about the players. It's very quick, very concise, no stories, no, you know, I'm not looking for War and Peace. You know, I'm looking for Cliff Notes.
The Giants almost never pick second. Is this fun for maybe once in a career time where you're picking this high?
It is kind of. It has been kind of fun. You know, the bottom line is, you know, I've said it publicly. It's, you know, this pick. Can you picture the guy putting on a gold jacket? That's what you should be looking at. And if you can picture that guy putting on a gold jacket, then don't be afraid to pull the trigger.
How would you describe this overall draft and the players that are in? Because the quarterbacks are going to push really good players down the board and even into the second round and third round when you pick.
For the last 5-6 years, the drafts have been pretty strong through the first three rounds. You're going to get players, and I'm very pleased with, you know, the way it's shaping up. We're going through our process right now. Theo Epstein made a great statement. You can't cheat the process, and we're not going to.
You've made a killing in your career on what happens right after the draft and the signing of undrafted free agents.
You know, it's really funny. The, you know, times have changed. So you do have kind of a undrafted college free agent cap. We'll probably target three or four guys that we want. And hopefully, you know, they'll be on our draft board. You know, I was in Carolina. We had Andrew Norwell. Okay, so draft was over. We had him in the fifth round. Draft's over. I just turned to my cap guy. I said, I don't care what it costs. I don't care if he takes the whole pool. Get him. It's like taking a guy in the first round, second round. That make a difference. You got to have convictions on these guys. You know, you're looking for guys that can contribute to, you know, your winning club. And then the same thing when you get down to the free agents. In the ideal world, our undrafted college free agents will come off our front board. What skill does he have that will allow him to get between the white lines on Sunday for an NFL team? Bob, it's about evaluating the players. Unless this place is burning down, leave me alone. And I'm going to watch film for 4.5 days.
Get the Visine out, Giants fans. Thanks for letting us in your space.
In my space.
This is the epicenter. Draft night, draft weekend for the New York Giants. Obviously, some really cool insight from Dave Gettleman, and a lot of work still to be done. Now it's time to meet one of the new Giants. Alec Ogletree had a chance to visit with Madeline Burke in a Facebook Live interview.
Welcome to the New York Football Giants.
Thank you.
New team. Yeah. What are your first impressions of this organization?
Just blown away. The first day walking in here, you know, I definitely felt the tradition, the history, all that stuff.
See those trophies out front.
Exactly. And, you know, definitely want to try to get one of those.
And also playing the linebacker position, too. The Giants are an organization that have had some storied Hall of Fame linebackers come through. I mean, do you feel that kind of put on the stars?
It is. Like I said, it's a very historic organization. And, you know, they've done had a lot of great people to play for this organization. And, you know, I'm definitely fortunate and blessed enough to be able to have this opportunity. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Like, you played 3-4 last year with the Rams, but 2 years ago you guys were in a 4-3, so you understand that transition.
Yeah.
How would you put it to Giants fans that are going to watch this defense kind of transform?
It's an attacking style defense. I mean, just depending on your coordinator, really how aggressive they like to be. But, you know, usually the 3-4 is much more aggressive than the 4-3, you know. So, you know, we got almost 5 guys going to the quarterback almost every play. So, you know, and like I said, you're going to definitely look for some turnover. A lot of turnovers usually happens in this defense. And just a lot of guys flying around and hitting people. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, getting acquainted with this division and how it goes. And I definitely think it's going to be great for sure. Been away from football for over 3 months now, so it's, you know, definitely start to get that little itch to get back and get ready for the season. You know, I definitely want to bring in just an attitude of being physical, you know, for 60 minutes and playing fast, just doing whatever you got to do to win the game and give the fans something to cheer about.
A lot more to come on Giants Access Blue, our legacy interview with Plaxico Burress. But when we come back, we'll tell you about a Giants fan cave in New Jersey as we continue with Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota after this.
Welcome back to Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. Now, we've got a lot of Giants fans all around the world. And you've traveled. You've seen some of the best fan caves out there.
Yeah, that's right. I went down to Eagles country and I had a chance to check out Jerry Foley's fan cave. And you're not going to want to miss this one.
In appreciation to you, Big Blue, who are some of the most amazing fans in the NFL, we're scouring the nation looking for the most memorable Giants fan caves. Now I'm down here in Central Jersey on the border of Eagles and Giants territory to check out this fan cave from this fan from Hightstown and how he's made this Giants country. Let's check it out. Now I'm walking around looking for the fan cave and I walk into your garage. Jerry Foley, thanks for having us here.
Absolutely.
Man, your garage looks like a fan cave already.
Yeah, I try to make it as inviting as possible to Giant fans, as intimidating as possible to Eagles and Dallas fans.
Yeah.
So as you can see, you have the lower tier sign from the old stadium. And then we have where I sat, section 323. I wanted to make this entrance fun for people who walked in and kind of get you ready, kind of a pregame before you get to the fan cave.
Well, can we go check out the fan cave?
Absolutely.
Nice. After you, sir. Take us through here.
To be in this room, you have to be in the Ring of Honor or a Super Bowl champion. So you would make the cut. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pieces here. Everything here is pretty much autographed.
And I'm looking at this wall here, and you got some pretty important pieces up here, man.
Yeah, so back in 1999, I wrote a letter to Wellington Mara. I'm a huge fan. What can I do to get season tickets? And then basically he told me the tickets are yours. So very cool item to have. Wellington Mara is a class act. John Mara is a chip right off the old block, so sent a letter to him as well, telling about my kids and my family, about what big Giant fans we are. So he took the time to write back, basically said, you know, you have a beautiful family, you should be proud. And then there's a picture of my kids with Eli Manning. Eli's awesome. They attended a passing camp with him, and, you know, he was a really gracious guy.
Could you say this is one of the best linebacking corps in Giants history?
I think in NFL history. You can't pick 4 better linebackers. I mean, Taylor Carson, Reasons Banks. Emlyn Tennell, one of the best defensive players in Giants history and really goes overlooked. Didn't make the top 10 list on NFL Network, and I thought, what a crime. You know, he had, I think, 79 career interceptions in an era where they didn't throw the ball that much.
We got some of the Super Bowl teams on this wall.
Yeah, 1990 and 1986, they stopped making this, so that's why there's not 2007 and 2011. Paying homage to Y.A. Tittle, famous picture. My nephew's a Packers fan, so I make sure he can see the interception by Webster, the kick by Tynes. So Tynes signed it, sorry, Brett, for me. So that was pretty cool.
Sorry, Brett.
But I typically sit there now. I sit in my stadium seat. My kids in the delivery room, I wore an Armstead jersey because that was the first thing they would see.
So what would be your most memorable moment for a Giant Sunday down here?
Probably when, in the 2007 Super Bowl, when I prayed the rosary so the Giants would win. I went upstairs during the game and prayed it. and they won. So the cheerleading uniform in there is raised.
So I retired their cheerleader outfits that day, because that's really when they became huge Giant fans. Yeah.
This place is amazing, by the way, man. You're definitely a diehard Big Blue fan. And how long does it take to accumulate all this?
It's my whole life. So, I mean, my parents would buy me this stuff when I was a kid, and a lot of it is just meeting these guys. So I met Armstead on a couple occasions. You can see a big Jesse Armstead fan again, another linebacker. This is from Giant Stadium. This was on one of the walls. So this is the 100 level of my house, so it kind of makes sense to put it there. As far as most prized, I would say I have an autograph of Jack Lummis, who died in World War II. Having that autograph, that's beyond football.
It's a room full of legends and Super Bowl winners. I'd love to be in here.
Well, B. London, you were on the 2007 team, so you belong in here, buddy. You can sign that for me. I appreciate it.
You want me to sign the wall?
Absolutely. Sign my fat head.
Sign the fat head, really?
Yep.
82. Super Bowl 42.
Thanks, champion. Man.
Thank
awesome.
You, man. I'm honored to sign your fat head.
My honor. Thank you very much.
Hey, Giants fans, this has been an amazing experience. If you want to show off your fan cave, make sure you submit your photos to Giants.com.
Good luck, Giant fans.
...2007 Super Bowl champ Brandon London signing the wall on that one, too.
I feel like a practice squad All-American.
This is a big moment.
Yeah,
this is a big moment. You are forever ingrained in that fan cave with a lot of the greats. There were some really epic pieces in there.
You my boy, Jerry.
Solidarity right here. All right, we'll keep it right there. We've got more Giants Access Blue coming up after this.
Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. In this week's Legacy interview, I had a chance to visit with the man who caught the winning touchdown in Super Bowl 42, Plaxico Burress.
Bootleg for Manning. Rolls right, throws right, end zone. It's caught by Burress. Touchdown! Takes the snap, drops back, short set, lobs it right, looking for Plaxico. He's got it for the touchdown!
In 2005, Plaxico hauled in a team-leading 76 passes for 1,214 yards and 7 touchdowns, including a career-long 78-yard scoring catch in Week 17.
Burress has it on the run, splits the defense to the 40, across midfield. Plaxico to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! 78 yards!
Happy New Year, everybody! 05, go out with a bang.
In 2006, Plaxico again led the team with 988 receiving yards on 63 catches with 10 touchdowns.
Lobs one right to Burress. Touchdown! What a catch by Plaxico! Play fake to Barber. Steps up, has all day. Rifles one left. Hooked by Burress at the 15. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Plaxico Burress!
In a Week 2 showdown with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Giants trailed 24-7 in the fourth quarter. Big Blue staged a furious rally, scoring 17 unanswered points to send the game into overtime, where Plaxico's 31-yard touchdown catch gave New York a thrilling come-from-behind victory.
Third and 11, drops back, lifts on, heaves it left for Plaxico Burress. He makes the catch for a touchdown! Burress just beat Sheldon Brown for a touchdown, and the Giants have won in overtime, and they come out on the field and Bob Manning.
The Giants score 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter and win it on a third and 11 in overtime. Manning the Plaxico Burress from 31 yards out.
What a game, what a comeback.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, minus 1 degree with a wind chill of minus 23.
Man, it is freezing outside, man. I've never felt anything like that in my life.
In the 2007 NFC Championship game, Plaxico would put on one of the greatest performances in Giants playoff history.
Manning from the gun, back to throw, zips one left, Burress has it on the run at the 40, and knocked down at the 47-yard line as he beat Al Harris on the slant.
You know, I remember Tuesday leading up to the game, Al Harris basically said, you know, I'm going to shut down Plaxico Burress, and I'm going to guard him one-on-one. When he comes to Green Bay, he knows what he's going to get. So, I took it personal.
looks right, throws right, looking for Burris, who makes the catch over the defender at the 35-yard line. He went hand-to-hand with Al Harris, and he beat him.
He was regarded as probably the best corner in the NFL at that time. I knew him so well when I got on the field that I knew what he could do and what he couldn't do.
Manning threw for 251 yards. 150 of them went to Burris on 11 catches. The game went into overtime, where the Big Blue defense stole the show.
The pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Corey Webster got the pick,
giving Lawrence Tynes a chance to send the Giants to the Super Bowl.
All right, here goes Tynes again. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good.
Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
And in Super Bowl 42, Plaxico once again delivered in the clutch.
First and 10 at the 13. 39 seconds to go. Giants down by four.
They called a play, and Eli grabs right before I break the huddle. He says, hey, man, they get single, I'm throwing it. So I run out, and I get to the line, and I see the coverage. It's blitz coverage. And I'm like, oh, my God. Ball's coming.
Three receivers right, Burris left. Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, pops it left. Burris is wide open. Touchdown, Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, and the Giants regain the lead. Manning to Burris.
They had Plaxico one-on-one, and you know there was no doubt where I was going. I was throwing it high in the corner end zone and let him make a play.
Eli can't hike the ball fast enough, and you know he lets it go. I make a move on Ellis Hart, steps down, takes a fake, and I just run clean by him. And I see the ball up, and I turned 360 degrees, running full speed. And it was like,
you know, that ball just seemed to hang up there in the end zone forever. It just, I was like, things got to come down. Hurry up and get down. And sure enough, it did.
Like the feeling just went out of me. I couldn't believe that it just happened. I couldn't believe it.
And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots 17-14. And the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
We had a group of guys that genuinely wanted each other to succeed. So everybody played hard for each other. And we just wanted to win for each other.
Still not done on the program. When we come back, the social media buzz as we continue with Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota after this. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. Let's check the social media buzz with Emma Captain.
Hey, Giants fans. This past weekend, the players visited their alma maters to watch the college football spring games. Running back Wayne Gallman was at Clemson and watched from the sidelines with fellow alum C.J. Spiller. Newly signed safety Michael Thomas visited Stanford and showed up to practice to speak with the team before the game on Saturday. And lastly, Sterling Shepard went back to Oklahoma. Our cameras followed Sterling as he took us down in the field and caught up with some old friends and teammates. Now, this past Tuesday, the Giants kicked off their new Play 60 Challenge. A number of the players were there, including Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple, and BJ Goodson. They had a blast with the kids. That's it for this week. I'll see you guys next time.
Now it's time for this week's edition of Papa's Perspective. If you saw the beginning of the program and my interview with Giants General Manager Dave Gettleman, there's still quite a bit of work to be done. And I really like the fact that he said the scouts are going to get a chance to go home for the weekend, opportunity for Dave to sort of clear his mind, watch some more tape, and do some more due diligence. They'll come back and meet again next week. Like all teams, they'll run through their own mock drafts, mock scenarios, and see what could happen as far as all the other teams around the Giants, whether it's Cleveland with the top pick or teams willing to move up. It's an intriguing time, but the Giants under Dave Gettleman, you can rest assured of one thing. They'll be prepared for every scenario and make the best possible move for the Giants as they continue to rebuild and get ready for the 2018 season. And that's my perspective. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and of course at Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
This week's Papa's Perspective was brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. Giants Access Blue's restaurant of choice is Ben & Jack's Steakhouse. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. MetLife, navigating life together.